Atlanta.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett. And I have to say that that was our brand new, fabulous intro music. I was letting it play longer because it was so exciting.
It was nice. A nice change of tune.
I know. And we're basically interrupting a previous broadcast of ourselves. It was actually kind of a fun show. So sorry for anybody who was getting into that show. We will be re-airing that episode again, I promise. So stay tuned to Atlanta's Business Radio X for more nonsense. But we got a late start this morning. For those of you who live in the Atlanta area, which is probably most of our listeners, we had some storms over the last couple of days.
It's been really intense storms.
Yeah, my poor dog is terrified. Little Buster is just terrified. And so our computer also acted like Buster and was terrified and went down on us. So that is why we're getting a late start this morning here on Wednesday. What is today? July 11th. And but we're here. Here we are. And we have coffee in hand. And we have Carla in the studio with us.
That's right. Carla Areola. Did I say it right? Carla Areola and I have known each other for a while. She is a super fabulous real estate consultant here in the city of Atlanta. And we've been talking about real estate and the real estate market.
Something often
a lot of people have interest in. So I invited Carla to come on this morning and join us and share her perspective and knowledge about real estate in Atlanta. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, and I have to say, Elizabeth, that you and I have talked about this off the air because, of course, we are full of ourselves and we think that we're gorgeous and we should be on television instead of radio. And Carla is just making that even more evident. This is like a gorgeous woman sitting here. I'm just saying. I'm allowed to say that. I'm totally straight, by the way, but I'm saying that just because, I mean, the three of us right now should totally be on television.
Absolutely.
Well,
it is
genetically lucky.
A fine-looking studio here this morning.
That's right. Though Carla, she says she's genetically lucky, but she also told us how much she just finished telling us all about her exercise routine over the last couple of days. So, so she works at it. She works at it. So tell me about that class. What was the deal? What was it called?
We went to Flywheel. And I'm sure some out there have been to this class, but I've never done a spin class before.
So Flywheel is it a spin class?
It is a spin class.
Okay.
It's a spin studio in Buckhead, just across from the St. Regis Hotel. And it is fantastic.
Wow.
One of my girlfriends actually was able to get us all set up there, and the experience just left me exhilarated and dying to have my husband come join me.
Does your husband do spin class? Like, is he willing, do you
No,
think?
But he did sign us up for some bike ride in sometime in October.
Uh-oh, so you better train
him
to train.
So I thought it was very, very lucky to have gotten that invitation, and it was an amazing class.
That's very cool. So, Elizabeth, do we want to hit some of the headlines, or would you like to just jump right into the real estate market,
my friend? Well, we could talk a little bit about what's going on the news today.
There were a couple of things, and some of them are real estate related. So
especially since we didn't get to update people over
the
last
holiday.
Week.
That's
yes.
True.
So, everybody, I hope you had a great 4th of July.
Yes.
Since then,
that's right.
A lot has happened in the city of Atlanta.
Well, you tell me. The one story that caught my eye, and I don't know why things like this always catch my, you know, whenever there's a comparison of Atlanta to other cities, you know, top five, are you struggling?
There
were
a couple.
Did you just get a bug in your eye or something? What's going on?
So now it's really good that we're not on TV.
Oh, good point. Because you're flailing around and looking ridiculous.
Duking it out with a fly over here.
Nice. But yeah, whenever Atlanta makes a list, like a top five or a top 20 or a top 10 or whatever, whether it's something good or bad, it always catches my eye. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of them. It seems like there's a list always of something that makes the news. Okay, we have like, it's like the Karate Kid in here right now, trying to catch flies with chopsticks or something. But one of the stories that caught my eye was that they're now saying Atlanta has the worst income inequality problem of any major city. So
I saw that, the ratio that they calculated.
Yeah, like the very rich to the very poor kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
That's sad, I think. I mean, not for the rich people. Just saying.
But even for the rich people, because I think you would look at the welfare of a society in general and say that the rich are not as well off as they could be if the rest of society wasn't also well off. I mean, when people accumulate wealth, that helps everyone in the strata. So it's not like the rich should be rooting against the poor because it doesn't serve them.
No. The more people who have jobs, the better
for
everyone.
So it is bad to have that kind of a social divide.
You know what's really weird about it is that the next major city that's sort of closest to us in badness.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm backwards. The city that's actually closest to being good, this actually makes sense now that I'm saying it out loud, is in Utah, where it's the most equal. It's the Mormons. They're spreading the wealth around. Sorry, it's not bad. But it is interesting that they even can calculate that, you know?
Yes, this Gini index.
Right, is that how you pronounce it?
Well, I don't know.
That's how we're pronouncing it.
Exactly. Here on Good Morning Atlanta, we're
Yeah, it's G-I-N-I.
Don't
so,
ask me to pronounce it.
Right, well, you would say it with a great accent, so that's awesome. We love that. Yeah, it's very interesting. Just and it is sad, and it is sort of indicative, I think, of the whole economic situation right now. And also, I mean, the poor are getting poorer. The middle class is dropping. A lot of the middle class is dropping into the poor, I think, because of all the, you know, layoffs and, you know, just the economic struggles. A lot of people now have been laid off for and not able to find new work for multiple years. And that inevitably starts to drop you down in your economic standing, no matter how much you prepared for that, no matter how much savings you had. I mean, you can only last so long, right? Unless you're already super wealthy.
Right.
And so people are really struggling. It's unfortunate. Hope it gets better. And I hope it gets better for the real estate market too, because that'll all help, right?
Exactly. Well, and I think that's why we're putting such an emphasis on economic development and job creation here in the city of Atlanta.
And in our studio.
Exactly.
And speaking of real estate stuff, so the King and Queen buildings are going under contract. What's the deal with that? That's
real
estate.
Well, they were up for sale.
Right. For a while, right? Had they been on the market for a while?
It's been a couple of months.
So that's not too bad.
Only 2 or 3 months, though. Okay. I think that they first hit the market. So did it say how much they were
going under contract for? No, but you know, they're such landmarks. It's you doubt that they said how much. Yeah, you're probably right. No, it doesn't say how much, of course. God forbid. That would be way too good. They are giving a ballpark. They say they would buy it for just north of $300 million. I have that in my back pocket right now. Just saying, you know.
Right. So, hey, Annie up.
I could go. Yeah, I could fight them for it. But those buildings are such landmarks in the city, you know. We talked about that when they first went on the market. When I first moved to Atlanta, that was almost like, I know the Big Chicken and all that, but that's not the same. Like with the King and Queen buildings in the sky, like you can actually sort of navigate by them. You know, you're like, okay, I see those. I'm heading in the right direction. Okay, cool. You know, which is pretty cool. So it'd be kind of sad if they sort of struggled to keep them afloat. I don't think that'll happen. Seems like they'll be okay. No.
I mean, they're doing a lot of work there. I mean, they
put your mic a little closer to your mouth. There you go. That's all right. Don't drift off to the side.
They're doing quite a bit of renovations there, and that happens to be where I work. I also belong to the concourse.
Okay, so you can really talk about that area.
The area, yeah.
Well, and just in essence, I mean, so those buildings are, you know, they're actually putting more money into it, it sounds like.
I see a lot of work going on there. And there's the Westin right there, too. Right. It's a beautiful campus. So.
It's interesting, too. I remember, again, first moving to Atlanta, I came here from the Northeast, where everything is very city-centric. There's not a lot of suburbs that are like little mini-cities of their own, like there are here and in Dallas and cities, newer cities, where even in D.C., you know, there's like downtown D.C., but then there's also Virginia with the high-rises and everything. There's sort of, exactly. And that was sort of new for me, though, as a living experience, because Philadelphia is sort of downtown Philadelphia is where it's at. There's a little bit of stuff in the outskirts, but most of the big stuff
even
is...
Even the small villages are still within city of Philadelphia.
That's true, too. That's true, too. So anyway, but that is sort of like a city, you know, the whole perimeter area is sort of its own little
I think it's
bustling.
Almost unique to Atlanta, the way we are. We are, you know, you've got perimeter, you've got Vinings, you've got, you know, Buckhead and Lenox, and it's very unique because I came from Houston.
Right.
Also, and Houston has some of that, but it's so widely spread.
Right.
You know, and the wonderful thing about Atlanta, and I happen to be somebody who came and fell in love with Atlanta, is that we are a very compact city, but we have such amazing variety of living, where do you want to live or what your lifestyle choice is.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
One of the interesting things about living here, I think, unless you have your own business and you've picked an area and you're set there, my experience, I've been here for 20 something years. And my experience has been like when I first moved here, I chose a place to live based on where my office was, where I was working at the time. But of course, because of the type of world we live in right now, you don't stay with the same company forever. And you also, the company doesn't even always stay in the same place. They move around because they want to get better deals on office space and things like that. So you find, I was living in Marietta and then all of a sudden I'm working in downtown, or and then I move in closer into town, all of a sudden I have a job in Alpharetta. And then, so you really can't even make your living decision based on your working decision anymore, unless it's your own business or you're really sure they're not going to move. Like if you work for CNN and they're not moving.
That's a great point. I actually have that. And as personally and as a realtor, one of the things when we do, when we talk to somebody who's looking where to go, I always talk about lifestyle and what do they do when they're not at work. Or some of them, if they have to travel quite a bit, obviously accessibility to the airport may be one thing, but you know, like my husband and I, we chose to live in Buckhead because it would put us in a position where everything we like to do was close by, and we actually end up traveling against traffic,
right,
to where our corresponding offices were. So, but it really, you're right. I mean, maybe the decision, we just happened to be one of those who decided it's got to be around what we want to do. And it pushes you. I mean, it pushes you to figure out, what are we going to be doing? Do we like to work out? Do we like to walk around? Or, you know,
right,
those kinds of things.
Right. And of course, a lot of people do choose where they're going to live based on schools.
That's true. That's the other thing. One of the things we had to do was give up space.
Right.
Because you're not going to get the same, you know, the amount of space that you do inside the city that if you do outside. And then,
right,
of course, the school districts. Now, you know, there's four or five school districts, if you're talking about elementary schools, that are the choice to go. And,
right,
of course, those are the areas where there's the most demand.
Of course.
There's the least amount of inventory nowadays.
Yeah.
And you have to still be very great at your negotiation skills when you go out there, whether you're buying or selling.
So, I think, you know, you and I were talking about this before we went on the air, and I think that's a really good point. I think because the market has been down and it has been a buyer's market, that when buyers are coming into the process, I think they're thinking like, woohoo, you know, I'm going to like get in there and I'm going to like rip somebody out. Not really, but, you know, I'm going to get a steal and I'm going to be able to go into the best neighborhood in Buckhead where the schools are the best, or out in East Cobb where it's the best schools with the best, and I'm going to get a steal. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, those neighborhoods are still in high demand.
They are. And actually, you know, if you look back to about 3 years ago, yes, you could come in guns blazing, you're going to get a deal. But those, just like in anything, they have really gone. And it's been like about, I would say this year, we have our quarterly meetings, stats meetings, where we look at the Metro Atlantic area versus looking at all of Georgia.
Right.
And we know for a fact that when you look at the creme de la creme areas that you want to live in, you're going to be somewhere between the 4 to 8 months of inventory. And guess what? 6 months of inventory is considered a balanced market. So neither the buyer or seller has an advantage. So that's when you have to be ready to negotiate, ready to have, you know, the kinds of, you know, offers that will make it easy for a seller to say yes to, and a buyer who has realistic expectations.
So I think the deal is that the prices are generally lower than they were, let's say, 5-10 years ago, but they're still moving quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is. I can't tell you how many times we come every week. We have meetings, every team meeting, and we talk about, hey, I've got a buyer needs, or somebody now is starting to say, I've got a pocket listing, meaning, hey, I've got somebody who's going to put the house on the market. They're getting it ready, but it's not on the system yet.
Yeah.
So we're actually, that's where having somebody who's in real estate or realtor can help you, because they have that relationship.
Sure.
And they're moving, and they're going to be on the phone calling colleagues, whether it's in their own market center, whether it's with their own brokerage or another brokerage firm.
Right.
They know who moves around what neighborhoods, and that's so important.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, if you're talking about school districts and you're talking about Sarah Smith, Ashford Park, which is a great little school district out in the South Brookhaven area.
Right.
Up and coming school district. I love that neighborhood. You've got obviously Morris Brandon, and you've got Morningside, which everybody knows Morningside.
Right.
Warren T. Jackson. But, you know, depending on what the price point is, if you're needing the school district, those areas are going to be hot, and you're going to have to be in there on top of what the inventory that's coming in, you know, into the market. Now, if you're in a situation where you don't care about the school districts, but you really do care about the area that it's in, you may be able to get into some really great deals that are still inside the perimeter. If not, some of the choices can be outside the perimeter in Dunwoody. There's some great homes there. So it's just, you know, just depends on what the buyer is looking for.
What are most people looking for these days that you talk to? I mean, obviously there's an individuality factor that depends on their particular situation, but is there any trend?
In general trend, I would say that in the past 18, 20 months, the trend has sort of shifted back. People are moving from outside the city into the city.
Interesting.
They were wanting to give up that commute. Before, I remember when I actually have been here since 2000, and I started visiting Atlanta in 98, and I remember everybody was moving to brand new homes, brand new suburbs, out in Marietta, in Smyrna, East Cobb, Woodstock even, Kennesaw, so all of, in Alpharetta, I mean, we think about Alpharetta, fantastic neighborhoods. However, the commute started to really get stressful because of how dense the city has gotten.
Yeah.
So what we've seen now, at least in my experience, we're seeing people are saying, hey, listen, if I've got X amount of dollars, I'm willing to give up this much space so that I can be in the city, because they found themselves, especially a lot of young couples went outside the city.
Right.
And they find themselves coming back in for what the city has to offer. We've got, you know, the restaurant, the entertainment, the parks. I mean, who can really beat Piedmont Park right now?
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
And, you know, or the Chastain Parks, you know, if you want some suburb feel, some people are sacrificing the amount of space because all of a sudden they can walk to, have their kids be on bikes, have all the activities that those neighborhoods have to offer.
Yeah.
Those neighborhoods that are starting to understand that and starting to expand that, like, there's Drew Valley, there's Ashford Park. That's all that what we call Brookhaven over on Dresden Road. And you know where the new Cena Bistro is. And
right.
All of that Brookhaven MARTA station area.
Yeah.
That area is starting to really understand what do we need to do to attract new residents. And they're doing a wonderful job.
Well, it's interesting, too. We were also talking before I got on. We're all in town girls here in the studio right now. But, you know, I lived in the suburbs for a long time. And because we missed July 4th here in the studio, I have to at least talk about it a little bit. As it relates to this, because I ran the peach tree this year.
I
kicked butt, by the way, just everyone should know. But
pictures are online.
That's right. Of me, of some other girl that they think is me. But, I ran it when I was younger, when I was, well, we're not going to say ages. I ran it about 10, 12 years ago, a couple of times, and I had to come in from the suburbs. And so, I think one year I drove and I managed to park somewhere way far away and walk very far to get to wherever I needed to go to. Now, granted, this was a long time ago. So while the race was big then, it wasn't nearly the size it is now. It was maybe half the size it is now. And in terms of number of people. But the second or third time I did it 10, 12 years ago, I took MARTA. And it was a dreadful experience. No offense to MARTA. But, I mean, I was stuck in the tunnel. I felt like it was like a human, scary, like, you know, like a human traffic jam, basically, mm-hmm. of people just standing and not moving and in a hot tunnel. Mm-hmm. It's very scary. And I didn't enjoy that at all. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, I was late getting to my friends. I was supposed to meet my friends at a certain spot. I didn't get there in time. They already taken off to start running. So I ran by myself, which wasn't part of my plan that year.
Aww.
And I was very sad. And then I got to the end, and you know how they have those in Piedmont Park, they have the signs, the letters, like, so you can try to find people by whatever letter. I finally found them at the end. They were kind of angry with me because...
Where were you?
Right.
Yeah.
And then basically, I got grief from them. And then I got back on MARTA to go back out to my car in the suburbs. And so I basically just had a horrible experience. Oh, it was just was completely not
but
fun.
But you did go back.
Well, but I didn't go back
many
for 12 years.
Later. Yes.
But part of the reason I decided to do it again, when you talk about people moving back into town, is that I've now been back living in town for about two years now, I guess, almost two. And I thought, well, you know, I live right by the end. Now, I live very close to Midtown. I mean, in Midtown. So it ends at Piedmont Park, which is, you know, 10th Street. And I live at 8th Street. So I was like, okay. So at least one side of this, I got covered. No problem. So I can either just take MARTA up to the start. But then at least when I'm done, I'm home.
Yeah.
Well, then, lucky for me, I met a boy that lives at the starting line. So I spent the night there. And I walked right out the door of his place and gotten in line and raced my little race, and then I ended up home. And that's the kind of thing that living in town can provide.
Exactly.
I mean, it was great.
Such a nice
It was totally stress-free.
Convenience.
I agree. I just happen to love being a very proud IT peer, as I call it.
Yeah. Yeah. I lived outside for so long that I won't ever be a total snob about it. And I will happily drive out to see my friends and go to my book club and whatever. Mm-hmm. I have no problem getting in the car and being the one to drive.
Thank you.
But I'm very, very happy to be where I can just participate. Mm-hmm. I can just walk out my door to Music Midtown or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's great.
And I actually have, we won't talk about the age, but I do have friends that all ages have children, very young and into teens. And I had one who has two little ones. And I remember she told me, you know what, Carla, I rather live in the city because it pushes me to take them out for a stroll. It pushes me to go out and enjoy nature. We actually appreciate the Beltline, which the Beltline now is really a reality. It's not
so
completely
great,
complete, but there are so many parts that are wonderful, like by Collier Hills. Oh, my God. And she was just saying, you know, it was a sacrifice to come back in, but it's actually making me spend more time with my kids.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids, but at the same time, we are enjoying the fact that we're, you know, we've always enjoyed the fact that we live in town.
Right. Well, that's the whole point, is to enjoy your family and friends.
Well, I think one of the things, I don't know if this is true, but I could be totally making this up, you guys. But I do feel like with the economy being the way it is, you know, when 20 years ago or 15, whatever it was, when I was first getting married to my long now ex-husband, and we were doing that same thing you were talking about. We were driving around to these brand new subdivisions and we were walking into the model homes. And, you know, you just kind of get sucked into that. Oh my God, this big, beautiful home. It's like a mansion and it's got all these rooms and beautiful hardwood floors and it's shiny new and no one's ever lived here before. And, you know, it's got these arched windows and whatever, brick and this and that. And you get all kind of sucked into it. And then you get in it. I think for a lot of people, I've had this conversation with many people. You buy that house, you get in it. And first of all, you figure out that it doesn't necessarily make you any happier than when you were in the smaller place. But also, you end up with rooms you don't use. You end up with space you don't use. You end up with a yard you just mow it. You don't actually go out there. You know what I mean? So I think people come, you know, after 10 years of that or 12 years or whatever it is, they start to say, like, you know what? Why are we doing this again? What?
But that's what's this about? You know, everybody has a different stage where they are. You know, I tell clients, if this is the first home you're going to buy, think of it as a Lego set. And I'm sure if there are any of my clients out there listening to this, they're going to laugh. But I always say it's a Lego set. Primary colors for the very set you have. You don't know how to work them yet, but you start to create it. And that's how your first home should be. It helps you build on to the next step because, you know, it's not like, you know, my family comes from Guatemala. I can tell you that my great aunt still lives in the same house that she lived in 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And all the people around her are the same families that lived there 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But here we have the wonderful opportunity that we get to grow and move. And our country here is so large. And we have the ability to be able to move from one to the place. It's not like you have to inherit it from your family.
Right.
It's a completely different, you know, opportunity that we have when it comes to home owning here.
Right.
So, you know, some people may be wanting to look for that, you know, to have that. But if you're not sure, think of it, like I said, Lego set, very simple at first. It'll help you build to the next one where it has moving parts. And then maybe you get to, you know, where it's all, I don't even know what the Lego sets are like today, but I think that there's a new place that I could go.
Right. We could go check out Lego Land at Phipps.
That's right. I just saw that. The ultimate. Like, wait a minute. I should go do that. I'm going to skip it.
For your analogy. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I think that's a little bit weird.
You think?
I think my first instinct when I saw that is like, that's a little bit weird. Yeah, it's a little weird. Well, because also, all right, I'm off on a sidetrack now, but you know how I love to talk about shopping.
Yeah.
But Phipps like always was like the super upscale fancy doodle mall. It still is.
It is.
And then now there's like this like kids theme park on the top floor.
But it's very like, strange. You know, the fancy doodle Keith's theme park, I think. It's
like
if FAO Schwartz were to come, where would you want it? You would want it to have it in Phipps.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, so maybe I just need to look at
it's
it like
a
that.
High-end kind of thing.
Yeah,
just because you don't have little kids
anymore.
Right now.
Right. It's true. Now I'm
so
kind of like
smart
why,
now.
Who invited the kids?
I know. It's so funny. We went to the beach for the holiday weekend. We went to Amelia Island, and I have some stories that we will probably talk about in the next hour on the Southern Hospitality.
Being a grown-up now, go to Amelia Island.
Yes. Well, but here's the funny thing. So we did not stay at the top of the line property. We stayed at the middle of the road property. Okay. We stayed at the Omni. And yeah, it was very nice. We got a good deal because they are doing some construction. They're expanding dramatically. Right. So we'll talk about all of that in our next hour. But we also walked over, not walked over, we took a ride over to the Ritz-Carlton one of the evenings we were there just to see it. And we thought we'd have a drink at the bar or whatever, have some appetizers there, and then move on with our evening. And so we went over there, and oh my God, what a beautiful property.
Yeah, it is.
It is to die for. And but I was amazed at the number of children at the Ritz. There were a lot of kids, and not so much at the Omni. Like, I really didn't see too many kids at the Omni, but there were a lot of little ones running around the Ritz, which I thought was really interesting. So apparently the very rich... With kids, that's where they're going. But I think they had a lot of activities at the Ritz for the kids. I think that may be what the draw was. But it was just interesting to see that was actually the case. You would have thought that you would have seen more kids.
Right.
Well, Garrett, I think that what's happening too, and now I'm not going, I'm actually following your trail. I'm getting off the subject.
That's
but
all right.
I'm going like,
that's what
I was
we do.
Watching,
we do.
What was I was looking at, I was looking at an interview with the guy who owns Sandals.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that his son, who is the one who took over a CEO, who's like freaking 25 years old.
Of course.
He, one of the big things that they're doing now is things like beaches, where they are catering to families and trying to make it so it's easy for families, even, you know, at all, I assume all economic stages, that they're able to bring their kids along. And in some cases, and I bet you that's the case at the Ritz-Carlton, they'll have nannies readily available so that the parents can have time out.
Right.
You know, they're still on the property or whatever, but I bet you that's what's happening.
But it's so interesting. Like, I've had this issue. I'm really off on a tangent now, you guys. I find it really interesting just in general. Like, as I get older, I'm not that old, but as I get older, right. Like, I'm in my 40s.
Bring out the rocking chair.
I know. I'm in my 40s. Just
I just
everyone
made
knows.
It there.
Right. I'm well into my 40s. But as I get into my 40s, for example, like, I would like to maybe still go out to a bar from time to time, you know, maybe even dance. But I don't want to go where the 20-somethings go. I don't want to dance on the dance floor with a bunch of 20-somethings. I don't want to be a cougar. I'm not interested in that. I would just like to go somewhere and, like, have a drink and maybe do a little dance, whatever, you know, but with people my age. And surely they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing holds true in the other side of that, as I am now an empty nester, which I'm a relatively young empty nester, but I don't really want to go on vacation where there's a lot of little kids running around. I don't. I'm sorry. I want to be where there's grown-ups.
This is exactly my husband and I talked about 5 years ago. We ended up buying a house in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And now it's like we go there for periods of 2 weeks. One of the weeks, friends will come with us. The other week, we're on our own.
Yeah.
And you tend to have your own.
You don't have to have all the little... Yeah, I mean, I thought the Ritz was beautiful, but I would actually think a little twice about going there just because...
Of the activity.
I don't really want to be all around the families and the little kids. You know, I prefer to be... I don't mind a few. I'm not so... I had my own kid. I understand.
Well, you definitely notice when the ambiance becomes more... Mm-hmm. Children oriented, and suddenly you're outnumbered.
Kind of run. It was the lobby bar, so they were kind of passing through with the towels from the pool and whatever. You know, they were around. You know, I mean, for sure, it was noticeable. Yeah, they were at the bar getting drunk. The little kids, smart parents. You know, load your kids up with alcohol. No, but you know. So anyway, I think that's interesting too, as you know, bringing it back to Atlanta real estate, because that is also true with neighborhoods. When people look at neighborhoods,
is it a child friendly? Does that come into play when you're talking about real estate?
Well, as a matter of fact, we were just talking about that. This is one of the things where really as a realtor, I cannot discuss whether a condo or a neighborhood is kid friendly. There are certain things about fair housing that we don't
talk
about,
interesting.
Discuss. But what I, you know, to me, it's something that if somebody wants to know about that, there are many, you know, many websites that you can look, you can visit the, you know, the area. I can tell you how many times, you know, they'll ask me, what do you think about this neighborhood? I said, you know what? Every neighborhood is the perfect neighborhood for every person, for somebody.
And right.
Right. So what I always tell them is, you know, go knock on a neighbor's door, go talk to, you know, tickle, you know, just there's other things you can do. But as a realtor, we cannot discuss anything, you know, that regards any demographics about the neighborhood.
Well, it's interesting because that makes sense.
There's great websites. Like, they'll ask me about, well, what's the school like? Greatschools.org. great website to look at what the teachers, the parents, the students too, not even kids put in the feedback.
And you know what I hate that? I mean, I appreciate that there's so much online that you can do right now, but you know, there's no substitute for like a pair of eyes and a pair of ears. Like walk around.
Somebody's honest opinion. Walk around. Well, that's what I
drive
have done.
Car,
right.
Yeah.
Just
go
walk
sit
around
there.
Until a neighbor pops out.
Right.
The mailbox.
Seriously.
And say, hey,
I'm thinking about moving in.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. Or, when you're in town, you even have a bigger advantage because you can actually, like where I live, you can literally park yourself in the Starbucks across the street from about four different condo buildings and just watch.
Yeah.
Watch who's coming and going. Look at the neighborhood. I have a girlfriend who is also about to become an empty nester, and she's a little bit older than me. She's like the more typical age for an empty nester. She's in her 50s, and her husband is right around 60. And so they're looking to sell their house in the suburbs sometime in the next couple of years and move in town, probably into a condo or townhouse or something. And she came to Midtown to see me, and she was like, yeah, no, this is too young for me. She looked around, she saw the people that were there, and she was like, I don't see anyone my age. She's like, this is great for you, but I'm 10 years older than you, and this is
not. I can tell you, my buyers, when we sit down for our initial consultation, which I always talk of part of the teamwork when you're working with a realtor really is a person that you're hiring for the negotiating skills, for the knowledge of the market. It's not because they can open up a door for you. And that was one of the key things that I learned as I came into this business.
Interesting.
So what I, you know, when I sit down with, the, you know, with buyers, I tell them, listen, we're going to work as a team. I'm going to make, you know, we're going to have this system. The internet has become such an amazing tool for looking at properties.
Yeah.
So for our realtors out there, you got to do a great job of presenting the product you have, photographs, video, whatever. But once you go beyond that, if you're going to look at an, you know, if I have a list of 10 homes, if my buyers know that they're going to drive by those homes.
Yeah.
Because they're going to tell me why we're going to go see and open up that door, because they like the corner or that it's a cul-de-sac. Or that exercise helps so many times to avoid the getting in the car and being there. And I don't know, because I'm honestly not psychic.
What?
My husband says I am, but I'm not. But it's like, you know, I can't tell, like what your girlfriend said, you love the area. She was like, it's too young for me, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of things that I help, you know, I ask my clients to do. And I know at first they're like, really? And I'm like, no, seriously, it'll help us be so much more efficient. And that's why you can go, you know, you can start and within 10 homes, not even 10 homes, they'll find a house they want.
Yeah.
And instead of going through.
That's good. Because after that, that's too many. Are like, you know what? Exhausted. I'll just be homeless. Too much work.
It's too hard.
It gets exhausting. It gets, it gets emotional. It just gets frustrating. And it should be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say, you know, when I was looking in town for the first time 2 years ago, and I wasn't even looking to buy, I was just looking to rent, but I didn't really know what I wanted. I just knew that I wanted a walking lifestyle. I wanted to be in town, somewhere in town where I could walk out my door and walk to places. And I had I knew my budget, and that was about it. And I knew my time frame, which was quick. But my agent was great. I mean, I have to say she really was patient with me. She sort of took me around to a bunch of different places, and it was helpful to just her getting to know me and sort of know, even if she couldn't say, you know, this building is too young, too old, too black, too white, too whatever, she started to know what was appealing to me just from, and she would say, we're not even going to go there. You're not going to like it. Let's just move on. Like a listing would come up, it'd be the price range or something. And she would say, well, we could look at this, but no, we're not going to, because I know you won't like it. Let's just, you know.
And that's because we also, number one, that consultation, that first consultation, even you as a buyer, that first consultation is so important, because even you as a buyer, you want to meet with that realtor because it's going to be much more time efficient.
Yeah.
In that consultation, I find out, don't be surprised, but I find out what we talk about, the DISC profile. We were talking about this with Elizabeth. You know, sometimes I'm working with couples and he may be really focused about the numbers, and all she wants to know is that she wants to make sure that she doesn't have to have the kids cross the street to go to school. They just can walk, right? So you've got that. And as a professional, I have to be able to deliver the message to each of them to where they feel that I'm catering to them alone.
Yeah.
So it's probably, you know, like you're talking about your realtor. That was probably what she was doing. She knew what your feel was. And the other thing we do is for every home that we actually take you to, we've probably seen 5 to 10 we have previewed.
Right.
So we will narrow down the list. So when you look at one, I promise that that professional has seen already and will know why they're eliminating it. Oh, it doesn't have the pool where you wanted it, or it doesn't have the basement finished, or you know what, the ride to the elevator is only one elevator bank for, you know, there's right. all the different little things. I had somebody I was working with yesterday, Carla, I don't want a long walk from the elevator to my door.
I hear that.
Because she's got a little one and she has to carry groceries and she's got a one, you know.
I have a long walk to my door. I never ever thought about it before, but now that I've lived with it for 2 years, I'm ready for something else.
You know what
I mean? It's a pain in the neck.
It's some, and for some people, they don't mind because they have their grocery delivered. I don't know.
Right. But right. Or they just don't mind. Different personality.
It's different critical to quality issues that each of us have.
I love that.
And it's like, you know, we call it the CTQs. There's my GE background. But, you know, it's like you, there's different CTQs for everyone. And it, you don't question, I don't question them. I just note them down and I start to rank them.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when you find the one gem, it's going to be maybe 85% to 90% of what you wanted and it'll be perfection. So it's, that's what, probably what your girlfriend was doing, your realtor was doing.
Right. Now I have a question because we're about ready to wrap it up. We're getting a little short on time. Okay. Yes.
We do have one other thing that I need to go through.
All right. We'll get there. But I did wonder, you know, as the market is still shifting and changing and whatever, you know, if you could give buyers or sellers, I guess, some advice right now, would it be to go ahead and move and do something? Is it to wait? Is there a time of year they should be waiting for? Like, what's sort of the number one piece of advice for both buyers and sellers right now?
For, I would say for sellers, for both of you, if you're wanting to buy or sell, it is that there are still opportunities on the market. As a seller, you have to know the number one thing you're going to have to focus on is price. And I would always recommend talk to at least two realtors, just like you would get a reference for a doctor or what have you. Have the one that is honest with you. I can't tell you how many times I go in there and I'll say, look, I'd rather be honest with you today than have to apologize later and ask for a reduction, you know, in price. It's going to be, you know, be aggressive because, you know, the reality is about 13% of the market right now is selling for 100% of asking price or more.
Interesting.
Which is something that in the Metro Atlanta area. So be one of that 13% who gets out. And oh, by the way, they do it in less than 30 days.
And it's because they're pricing it
absolutely. Right. Absolutely. If you price it within a 95% of the right price, you're going to be there out of there in less than 30 days. And you're going to be on to your next step. That property is not going to hold you back. And if you're selling to buy something, don't let that property hold you back from great opportunities that are out there. As a buyer, I would say be very, very verbal about what it is you want when you have the opportunity to sit down with the realtor. Be, you know, talk and be, when you go into places, be very vociferous about what it is you don't like about a place because it helps us refine and become more like a laser when it comes to finding the target that you're looking for. But get pre-approved. That's the other thing. As a buyer, you want to get your pre-approved for a mortgage before you even meet with a realtor because that's going to make it that much easier. Because as a realtor, for me, I won't even take you out to see a house unless I know what you're pre-approved for. Because if we find it, we can go to, you know, we can go to battle right away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I gave you one or two.
No, that works. But also,
it's really good advice.
Another huge piece of important piece of information is for you to give your contact information so people who've been listening to you can find you and use your services.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with the Keller Williams Realty Buckhead office located at Peachtree Battle in Buckhead, in Peachtree Road, sorry. And my phone number is 404-444-0203, 404-444-0203. And I'll be more than happy to take
and
your calls.
And website or email that you want to share?
Website is arheritagegroup@.com. arheritagegroup.com.
Okay. And Carla at arheritagegroup.com, and right?
Carla at arheritagegroup.com.
Awesome. So look her up. And we'll put that on the website, on our website as well. So, Elizabeth, you said you had a couple little items?
Perfect. Yes. I just wanted to mention Downtown Restaurant Week is coming up. So you deserve a night on the town, Dana. We both do.
Very exciting.
Yes, all of the best restaurants in downtown are participating in the extended promotion from July 21st to 29th. And all you have to do is just show up, which is really cool. Like, I was trying to figure out, how do I buy one or, like, get the coupon or do whatever.
How does it work?
You just go, and they'll either have a fixed $25 per person or $35 per person menu, and it's a three-course dinner.
So you're getting, like, it's like half of what it would normally cost.
Exactly.
At least. It could be way more.
Exactly. Because the restaurants, I mean, we're talking Alma Cucina, which, you know, we love.
Delicious.
The Atlanta Grill over at the Ritz-Carlton.
Wow.
Cafe Circa, Glenn's Kitchen, Legal Seafoods, Max Lagers. We love them, too. McCormick and Schmitz.
So basically, you just go on to the website. Which...
Exactly. So you're going to want to go to atlantadowntown.com/fun/restaurant-week and check out all of the participating restaurants. You can make reservations online.
And just show up.
And just show up and eat and
enjoy. And get a great deal.
Fantastic.
You got to love that. And we'll probably talk more about that next week, right?
Yes.
We've got a little more time. Maybe we'll actually talk about it even in the next hour a little bit on our Southern Hospitality show.
Yes. Up next, we've got the folks from the Ellis right next door, and we're looking forward to hearing more from them, and we will be talking more about Restaurant Week and all the great stuff going on downtown, because Business Radio X is now a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress.
Woohoo!
And you can learn more about that at atlantadowntown.com.
Awesome. Great show. We will see you back here next week for more Atlanta Downtown Business Updates, and we'll see you back in a few minutes for Southern Hospitality.